You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Greetings from Indianapolis, Indiana, where the Michigan Wolverines will take on 13 other member institutions in the competitive Big Ten Media Days starting tomorrow. I don't think it's actually a competitive situation, but is what it is. Nonetheless, did not do the morning as hoped, but got down to Indianapolis, so here we are. Thought this would be more fun, even though there's nothing that comes from it. I am reporting to you live from my hotel room, which overlooks a series of dumpsters and Lucas Oil Stadium, and also a parking garage. But like, if I turn around, I can see Lucas Oil Stadium filling up a good portion of my view. So we are going to talk a little bit of a preview of Big Ten Media Days. I don't know how much there really is to preview. Nonetheless, I think it's worth talking about. I think I'll probably want to talk a little bit more about the linebacking core again, because I finally wrote out the 10 predictions, bold predictions piece that coincides with Tuesday's episode. And the linebacking core I kind of have on my mind a little bit. So we're just going to kind of see where this takes us, see how it goes. Hopefully the audio is good. New microphone, travel microphone to make it so that this is possible and easier to be able to produce these on the road. Will certainly make up for any kind of travel that's going to happen this year. And obviously there's five home away games. Well, really four, because MSU is an hour from Ann Arbor. So that's not really that big of a deal. But nonetheless, it'll make it easier on travel days, like going to Nebraska and going to Maryland and the others. Nonetheless, I do want to try, as far as my vision for this podcast coming up this year, I'd love to be able to do, depending on the game, I don't know how realistic it is because I'm always editing photos and writing articles, but I would love to have some kind of post-game reaction, even if it's like a 10-minute type deal. So I think that's hopefully something that we'll be able to do this year. That's part of my goal. My other part of my goal is to bring this to you also on video. That's going to take some time. Hopefully I can get that set up before the season. But I do want to have everything simulcast on YouTube. So hopefully we'll be able to do that. Those are the two goals. All right, we'll get in the podcast here in just a second. I got to tell you a little bit about the NBA draft. GOAT Chad Ford. You all know Chad Ford. Locked On NBA draft host Raphael Barlow and Locked On NBA host John Carolus. They will be live this year, next week, covering the NBA draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick, and you know that Franz Wagner is certainly going to go early on. And who knows in the second round. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today. Watch our live coverage on July 29th. Again, just a week and a day away at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Okay, so Big Ten Media Days starts tomorrow. We got 2 days of it. As always, they split Michigan and Ohio State. I'm thankful that Michigan is going first. This will be my, fifth Big Ten Media Days that I've covered. They did not have one last year. But it always seems like Michigan's day two for me. So I'm thankful that they're day one. I will still be around for day two. My plan is to ask some of the other teams a little bit about Michigan too. Particularly, I want to know so much about, from some of the teams that played Michigan last year, like Wisconsin. I want to know what they experienced as far as playing Michigan, particularly the offense, right? Because not sure offhand who in the offense for Wisconsin was who's going to be available to us. But nonetheless, I do want to know, like, what were you seeing out there? You guys anticipated the blitz really well. You knew where it was coming from. when it was coming. I mean, Indiana, same deal. Indiana had a really good inside track record when it came to understanding when the blitz was coming. And as a result, they would delay their snaps by just enough to get those offsides penalties. So I'm really curious to see what some of those players maybe have to say about Michigan and the predictability of the defense last year. And obviously they're not going to have a lot to say as far as what they expect going forward. That's the type of thing I'm really curious about as far as the Michigan contingent. What I want to know, because they're bringing two defensive players, of course, Aiden Hutchinson and also Josh Ross. And I think it's going to be really instructive, educational even, to find out more from Josh Ross about how does he get back into 2018 form. Don't want him in 2019 form. Who of those guys around him? You already know he's going to say Nakai Hill-Green and Michael Barrett. But I want to know why Nakai Hill-Green has gotten as much love as he's gotten from some of his player, you know, fellow players. Because, and you know, and from the coaching staff as well, but it just seems like whenever we've asked that question in the spring, not that we had these guys that often, but when we did, it was like, what players have been impressing you? Nakai Hill-Green was a name that constantly came up. I also want to know, because I am curious, and we'll get more into the linebacking core, but I want to know more about like Anthony Solomon. Where does he fare? Who else is in that mix? They lost a ton of linebackers. I mean, especially when you consider Adam Shibley was a giant part of the linebacking core last year, not around. Ben Van Sumeren, giant part of the linebacking core, not around. With that in mind, I want to know how it feels knowing that Ben Van Sumeren left to go to a rival. How does that feel for those defensive guys that were, or I mean, I guess you could even ask, you could ask both Josh Ross and Hassan Haskins, because Haskins was in a room with Ben Van Sumeren as well. How does that feel? Because we haven't heard it. Yeah, people reacted on Twitter, but I want to know what some of these guys, you assume that these are all team captains, obviously. Two of them are already, but you would assume that Hassan is probably going to earn that role. Maybe not. Doesn't always work that way, but it tends to be that the guys they bring tend to be team captains. I know that Jordan Glasgow was brought a couple years ago and he wasn't one of them. But that's what I want to know from those guys. Let's get into what I want to know from Jim Harbaugh here in just a moment. But before we do, y'all know how much I love BetOnline.ag. It is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Now, football might be over. NHL is over. The Cup stayed in. I now remember that the Cup stayed in America. No Canada. NBA is over thanks to Giannis's heroics last night. But Major League Baseball, that's still going. All of them will be back before too long. Anyway, BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV, has real-time updated odds, props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline also has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It is the best way to place your bets. And guess what? It is free to sign up. So head over to betonline.ag and sign up today. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so obviously the big thing going into tomorrow is the fact that you've got Jim Harbaugh, and I mean he's got a lot that we want to know about, of course. And I think the big thing for me with Jim is hearing about what and this is the first time that I've seen Jim Harbaugh in person. Like I said the other day, since New Year's Day in 2020. Haven't seen him in person aside from like way up in the press box, with binoculars up in my eyes. So this is the first time since then that we'll be seeing him. To answer my question from earlier, because I did pull it up, the players, there's only one offensive player, Jake Ferguson from Wisconsin, but he's a tight end. I think that's very instructive because, like I've said before, when it comes to Michigan's defense showing its hand, all the team would have to do is motion its tight end. So I am curious about that. As well as with Indiana, Ty Freifogel, Michael Penix. Those are guys I want to definitely hear from. Trying to see if I have the schedule up here. So tomorrow, we've got Minnesota, Maryland, Nebraska, Illinois, Penn State, Northwestern, and Michigan going in that order with the coach press conferences. And then you've got a whole bunch of different guys going in the podium sessions. Jim Harbaugh starts at 3:30. If you're trying to keep an eye out for when he's going to go, student athletes go from 1:15 to 2:15. The next day is the rest. But nonetheless, so these are the things I want to know about, of course. From Jim Harbaugh, I want to know about the staff. What we've heard a little bit. I think it'll be a little bit different getting in person. Why all the wholesale staff changes? What made him decide to get younger? When you look at Mike Zordich, when you look at Ed Warner, why did you depart from those guys? And why did you bring in the guys that you did bring in? Why did you retain the guys that you retained? Now, some of it is going to be obvious, right? Like, moving Jay Harbaugh to tight ends, I mean, Jay Harbaugh was not going to be let go. I don't think he's done anything worthy of being let go either. Before you start getting in on that, to all you Jay Harbaugh haters, I am a Jay Harbaugh proponent, but he had much more success with the tight ends. Bring in Mike Hart. Obviously, I want to hear from the Indiana guys as well. What were your impressions of Mike Hart? But all that kind of stuff. But when it comes with Jim Harbaugh, I want to know why did you make all these moves? He's talked about it a little bit before, but I mean, and maybe we'll get non-answers still, but I want to know a little bit more about what made him decide to make wholesale changes. Was it just 2-4? Were these things that were maybe on his mind going into this last season of, hey, maybe if this doesn't work out quite the way I want it to this season, maybe we change things up? Or is it wholly a reaction? Also, how much did it matter? And I know I don't think I've asked Jim this. I don't know that anyone's asked Jim this, but I've asked Josh Gattis this, I remember, the importance of having, looking forward rather than past, the importance of having non-conference, having essentially that preseason. And how does that shape up with the idea that you got Washington in the middle, right? You get a tune-up, then you're going to really see what you're all about, and then you get another tune-up before you start getting into the actual conference schedule. Because I do think that was really important. How hamstrung by everything COVID was this team? We already know that the majority of the team was going to be out if they played Ohio State. I'm sure he's going to get the Ohio State questions. I am not going to be saying any, you know, asking that question. Now, this is interesting, and this just came across my newsfeed right now. So by the time you hear this, it's already out there. This is a complete off topic, but Houston Chronicle exclusive, Texas and Oklahoma reached out to the SEC about joining the conference. Well, Michigan would potentially have some SEC opponents, but you know how I feel. I want those teams in the Big Ten. I do. Anyway, let's continue on with the train of thought we were going on with. We'll address that maybe next week as things develop in that front, but the other things I want to know from Jim Harbaugh, the obvious one is obviously what younger players have you seen really step into those roles. But I want to know less about those younger players because they haven't had all the freshmen. They got all the early enrollees. But, of course, we didn't really get that progress report of how, you know, we didn't see a spring game. We didn't talk to him after a spring game. Like, we would, you know, last couple of spring games, I don't think we've had Jim Harbaugh. But, you know, typically, you know, you get a little bit of like, what are you seeing? We had them, I think, at the very beginning of spring. I want to know how those early enrollees did, but I think more importantly, I want to know how those guys that are supposed to be stepping into much bigger roles, and not just in bigger roles, but guys with high expectations. Christopher Hinton, Daxton Hill, how are they rounding into their roles? We've seen tons of pictures of Blake Corum. How's he doing? How much do you think that Donovan Edwards is going to be able to be that immediate factor? It'll be alarming if the answer isn't he's going to be an immediate factor. but I think that that's going to play a big part. So I want to know who of those established guys that were a part of the team last year, what kind of roles will they play? And what newcomers, guys that you already have on campus, which ones of those are going to be able to play a part? Also, he told John Jansen that Dan Villari certainly could play a Taysom Hill type role. What does that look like? What skill set does he have? Because we haven't seen him. We do know he was a dual threat in Long Island, but what is it about Dan Villari that says, hey, we need to get this guy on the field? I'm sure a lot of these things aren't going to be able to be asked, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of the Bo Schembechler stuff. There's going to be a lot of the, you know, a lot of what went wrong last year, which to some degree is fine, but, you know, we're not here to relitigate last year as much as I want to know what things that you did last year are going to improve this team moving forward. At this point, we don't need as much of an autopsy unless he's got like definitive things to say, like, hey, this went wrong, that went wrong, this went wrong. We knew we had to fix these things. We think we fixed it. And here's where we go from here. And honestly, the one thing that I want to ask that I'm certainly probably not going to, because I know it's not going to get an answer. Here's the thing with Jim Harbaugh. A lot of times you have those local pundits up in Metro Detroit that are like, hey, so we want to know this or that. So ask that question. Ask those tough questions. Here's the thing, Jim Harbaugh. You have to know there's certain things he's not going to answer. So don't waste the time. Sometimes there's questions you have to ask, right? Hey, that guy was injured in the game. You know he's probably not going to answer it. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But generally, he's not going to. So it's one of those things where you want to necessarily know if it's something that you want to know. You have to kind of pick your poison, pick your battles. A lot of things that are said on radio of, I would ask this if I had the chance. And it's like, and you would get shut down immediately. Sorry. Those of us who do this on the daily understand our time is better served sometimes not asking certain questions. Yeah, if a tough question has to be asked, it gets asked. More often than not, by the person that people always are making it seem like is just a guy who is a complete slappy. A lot of times those tough questions are asked by Wojo. If not Wojo, Angelique, certainly. But those are the things I want to know. I'm sure there's plenty of others. If you have things that you are curious about, throw them in to the mailbag. Again, I put the question up on Twitter this morning. I will be recording way early tomorrow. We're talking like 7:30, 8 a.m. tomorrow, probably closer to 7:30. So get your questions in tonight, and tonight meaning Wednesday night, because mailbag will be closed by like 7 a.m. on Thursday morning. So let's talk a little bit about the linebacking core. I know it's actually kind of always my joke of what am I supposed to do? Talk about the linebackers again? You know, like when I don't have anything to really talk about in the dead of summer when nothing's happening. But in a way, it's like that's kind of what I want to talk about right now. We'll get more answers here coming up. But at the same time, that's kind of what's been on my mind this morning. So I want to see kind of what comes of the discussion here. Before we do, let's talk about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. I have bought dozens of boxes of that delicious, delicious protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. If you haven't had it if you got it before, like this time last year, I'm telling you, get it again now because it's even better. I say it all the time. I'm going to continue saying it. I eat two at a time because I can't help myself. I have no willpower when it comes to Built Bar. The good news is, it's high protein, low calorie, low carb. I can have two and it's still less than going out and getting something like a Metrix Big 100. More protein, less calories. More delicious. Making myself hungry now. So what do you do? You You go to BuiltBar.com, you put in promo code LOCKED15, you get 15% off of that next order. BuiltBar.com, LOCKED15, 15% off that next order like I always do. I'm telling you, it's worth it. All right, sitting here overlooking this wonderful parking garage and dumpster, sliver of Lucas Oil. Now, it takes up a good third of my view from my, depending on where I'm sitting. I'm sitting kind of away, but I can see Lucas Oil stand. It is a behemoth, by the way. I've driven by it before, but I haven't really seen it this close. It is a behemoth of a stadium. I mean, it's just gigantic. Wouldn't want to be up in the nosebleeds of that thing. Anyway, like I talked about in my bold predictions, kind of feel like the linebacking core, my bold prediction was they were going to be competent. And again, I'm talking more of the interior because you figure the exterior is going to be more of those defensive end types. In a 3-4 type scenario, essentially they very well could have, you know, depending on what they want to do, are they going to have three typical defensive tackles up front? Are they going to have two defensive tackle types and, you know, and obviously your nose guard in the middle and then maybe like, do they have Jordan Whitley? Obviously, I want to know about Jordan Whitley and Daylon Baldwin as well. Those are guys that we need to talk about. But, you know, are they going to have Jordan Whitley in the middle as your prototypical nose guard? And do they flank him with Chris Hinton and Donovan Jeter, or, you know, throw Mozzie Smith and Jess Spate into the mix, or, and obviously you got the three rookies that'll be coming in as well, but is that how you're going to work? You're going to work it out, or are you going to, you know, have Aiden up front? I mean, you can have that up front look anyway, when you consider that Josh Uche, I know that was Don Brown's system. He was a linebacker, but he was pass rushing. And from what I saw, what little I was able to see, which is was that's certainly more than most from the spring game, able to see a little bit of like David Ajabo, those types of guys rushing in the same type of way that Josh Uche would have. So I'm curious to see how those guys are deployed, but more so in the middle, especially because you don't have a Devin Bush-type talent. How are those guys going to be deployed? How much are they going to have roles that look similar? How different is it? How is this unit just going to rebound in general? And who are those names outside of, again, we know Michael Barrett and Josh Ross. You assume Nakai Hill-Green. Anthony Solomon, dude, it's your time, man. You're a 4-star from Miami area. It's your time. I want to see him get involved. I feel like there's names that I'm missing. I know a lot of guys have left. It's a huge list when it comes down to the transfers. Cornell Wheeler, Ben Van Sumeren, Adam Shibley, Adam Fakih, William Mohan. It's a lot of attrition. But I want to know who are going to be those guys. Again, Josh Ross, 4-star. Michael Bear was a 3-star, but again, I think everyone felt like that was a steal. I feel like people had the same thoughts, maybe not as highly, but remember this name, Vic Viramontes. I feel like that's kind of how people thought of Michael Barrett when he came in. That's like, this guy can do anything. But, you know, you think Anthony Solomon, a 4-star. Mikhail Green is a 3-star, but he comes from a powerhouse program in St. Francis Academy. So, but outside of those four, because I feel like I'm blanking on someone. Someone remind me. Who am I not thinking of? Seems like there's some guys out there that would be certainly factors in the linebacking core, but it is thin, man. Thank the heavens that they are using defensive ends now on the outside, but that also causes a dearth of production up front. All in all, defense is a big question mark, but guess what? We've seen that before. Even going into the 2015 season, though the defense had been pretty good, I think the 2014 year was when it was only about 40th in the country. No one was raving about those guys defensively at that time. Jake Ryan was gone, right? Like, he was the name. People were very optimistic about Jordan Lewis, but people thought of Channing Stribling and Jeremy, you know, Clark as liability types. No one really had that much faith in Joe Bolden or Desmond Morgan or James Ross. We didn't know enough about Chris Wormley. We'd seen some glimpses, but he's still, like, we hadn't seen much of him. Taco Charlton was a guy that everyone was excited about, but hadn't really gotten to see. Ryan Glasgow, people were still complaining in 2015 that until he got injured, that he was a walk-on. Matthew Godin, another guy that people didn't think of. And think about how good that defense was for 2 years. I just named you the starting lineup. Willie Henry as well. And Willie Henry was a three-star. These were not guys that people were like, yes. Jordan Lewis, certainly. And Jabril Peppers. I failed to mention the Jabril and what's his name? That's down in playing with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not Brandon Watson. Jared Wilson. Demonte Thomas. These, outside of Jabril, Taco, and Jordan Lewis, I don't think that there was that much excitement for what there was personnel-wise defensively. I think the Demonte Thomas enthusiasm had kind of waned by then. I know he was a fan favorite early on. But it's not like they were just super, super loaded. Ultimately, it was a cast of characters very similar. Except for now, there's 2 5-stars on the defense. Not just Jabril. Now they've got Daxton and Chris Hinton. You've got about a similar talent level as you had there. So you can get out of it what you need if you have smart coaching decisions. This ended up being a whole defensive thing rather than a linebacker thing, but whatever. All right, again, get your questions in for the mailbag. Again, that will be done bright and early, way before I am normally anywhere near coherent, so I might be very incoherent tomorrow when we are discussing these things. But that'll do it for us today. Tomorrow, mailbag and Big Ten Media Days. We'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening. Peace.